Luke 1. We're still on 70. In 69, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. We're still on prophets. We looked at Genesis 3 about the prophecy of the seed of woman overcoming the seed of the serpent. We're going to go to Deuteronomy 18, but I don't think we made it. So let's go to Deuteronomy 18. What?
I thought we did.
I think, well, maybe we did. We'll find out in a minute. Yeah, we did that. So instead of there, Jeremiah 23, let's go to Jeremiah 3 first, I think. Verse 11. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. And remember, every time it says justify yourself, it means that they had, instead of repenting, they had a reason for their action.
It's a difference between Israel and Judah.
Huh?
It's a difference between Israel and Judah.
Judah, remember when there were 12 tribes, and then during the first deal, when the 10 tribes... The 10 tribes are called Israel, and the 2 tribes are called Judah. And that's where we get the word Jew. And so the 10 tribes were dispersed throughout all the nations, never to be seen again. And the 2 that are left are Judah and Benjamin. Benjamin was responsible for the temple and the temple services and the construction of it and everything. And Judah was responsible for the bloodline. And so all of the 10 other tribes are now gone. But at this time, they were still here. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. Now, remember, return is the word shuv. It doesn't have anything to do with going somewhere. It's the total repentance. I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. And you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, or repent, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And I will take you, one of a city, and 2 of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. So again, we have this deal where Israel, as it's a total nation, was the representative of all the people. And then they lost the 10 northern tribes because of their backsliding. Manasseh put the two golden calf inside the temple, and they were dispersed forever. All this crap that different people say, well, everybody's got, not everybody, but a lot of the fools have ideas who the ten tribes were that are lost. Oh, it's America. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's Britain. Oh, it's, that's just crap. Anyway, now up to 23. In verse 3, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which will feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteous. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought us up the children out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Now, again, you got to hear this. The word land there doesn't apply, doesn't mean that piece of land in the Middle East. It means the promised land, the true promise of that which that was just a parable. The true promised land is the New Jerusalem, which we all know came down on Pentecost. It's our overriding reality. Amen? But this was another prophecy of this mystery of Christ. Go to Jeremiah 33. Verse 14. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel, unto the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up into David, unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, which she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now, remember, first it was he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Now it's the bride, she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Do you, everybody get a picture? Remember when we read Melito every Passover? And it talks about the types, and when the architect has a model, and then when the perfect has come and finished, the model has no more value. Israel once had value. Judah once had value. The temple once had value. The law once had value. But now, that which is perfect, which fulfilled all that, has come. Israel, the land, once had value. But now it typified the New Jerusalem. Amen? What? Even worship the Bible. All right, let's go to Isaiah 4. Go backwards. Now we're studying in most all of these. The word branch is used. You know, we studied all of those where the horn was used. Now in most of these, the word branch is used. And when we get down a little bit in this Zechariah's prophecy, we'll be more, we'll spend a lot of time on the branch. But right now, in verse 2, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. And the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall purge the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, etc., etc. It goes on. Let's go to 11, chapter 11. And there shall come forth a rod of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked one. And the righteous shall be the girdle of his loins, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Then the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lay down with the kid, and all that we talked about. We talked about it last night. All right, and now that's the last one, and I'm going to do it here. No, maybe not the last one. Let's go to Isaiah 40. Remember, we're looking at that he spake by his holy prophets, so that is now being fulfilled in Luke. Amen? Start in verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and with his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work, 10, his strength is before him. It's not really work. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Well, let's read some more. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. That means just after you've weighed the wheat or the balance, you know, and then the small dust is that little minuscule stuff that lets sober after you're done. So that's what the nations are. Behold the nation. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, or the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing; they are counted to him as less than nothing and vanity. To whom will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. And he that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. And he seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understand from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. And that's the word for grasshoppers there is one of the stages of locusts that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing, and maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me? To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? It bringeth out their hosts by number. He's talking about the stars. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For he is strong in power, and not one faileth, etc., etc. The point is, he's contrasting our dealings with God versus the dealings with men. And if you can read that, what we've just read, and give any breath to anything that's going on in time and space, you're a fool. Anybody understand that? And again, here it says, he sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The only people that ever believed the earth was flat was their idiot ancestors in Europe. Jews never believed the earth was flat. The Arabs never believed the earth was flat. The Indian in India never believed the earth was flat. But our culture is so dominated by Euro, you know, background that we even taught in school that they thought the earth was flat. Well, that's... Anyway, that's another story. The point, the reason I'm doing all this is to get this back to this understanding of prophet. The role of the prophet after the understanding of the Old Testament is over. There is no more prophet. Now, the prophets, or prophecy, is what we've talked about. The bubbling forth. So that there is nothing hidden within you, so that lip and life remain the same. And so, this we could go on forever on all these prophecies, but you got to see, once it entered the New Testament, once Jesus was crucified and resurrected, then the role of a prophet, as we know it, was over. Now in the New Testament, as we said, there's the fivefold, what they call the fivefold ministry. It's not five individual people. For every body, there has to be first an apostle. That's the one. That's not a title. It's what happens when you fall into the ground and die to yourself. And because you believe, you will speak. So that means what you can't hold. I tried not to speak. You end up it bubbles forth in you. Because you speak, people hear, so you're an evangelist. And because people have heard, then you're a pastor teacher. But to sit and somebody call themselves one of those things, it's tantamount to taking the name of the Lord in vain. Amen? Huh?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, since the world began, and it's this pos ios, it means just since time entered eternity. And forever just means as long as time lasts. Nothing unclean can enter eternity. Only that which came from eternity can return to eternity. All right, back to Luke.
Reading that a few minutes ago, it's like it made me think of, you can't see God and live. Because our life is based on a very small little circle of real estate. And yet you look at this and it's like he sits on the world. He made the heavens, he knows the stars.
He named the stars,
yeah. How can you give any importance to your littleness?
Well, again, we can't. Remember in Isaiah, it says, God has wrought all our works in us. Other lords besides thee have had dominion, but now they no longer, by thee only will make mention of thy name. In other words, there's nothing that has ever transpired in your life that wasn't from the hand of God. Good and bad. To bring you to the point where you could hear. where you could see. Now,
that even that is incredible, that the one who names the stars gives a name.
But the thing then that I want to, why then take any importance for yourself? I mean, the thing that just blows me away every time I think about it was that star in the head of the little boy in Virgo. That supernova took 65 million years to reach the Earth. And just in time for the Magi to get their crap together and get on camels and go to Bethlehem and get there just in time before Joseph and Mary leave for Egypt. Now tell me something about your life that you're worried about in that context. You can't. Amen? Okay. We have been bought with a price. We're not our own. All right, let's go back to Luke. Did I say that? No, I lost Luke. Oh, there we are. I can't lose Luke. As he spake by the mouths of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Now, the word salvation and saved is one of the misunderstandings about that are just mind-blowing. It's like being worried about being filled with the Spirit. You know, and you're filled with anger. Remember we talked about it. So then it also says you're filled with anger and you're filled with wrath and you're filled with hate and you're filled with all these other things, but you don't keep that. Well, salvation is the same way. Salvation is soteria. And it means deliverance. But it doesn't mean, it's not the end. It's the merest of beginnings. So here, but just the same kind of word that we did with filled with the Spirit. The saved should be soteria. There's jillions of examples. Paul was saved from the sea in Acts 27. He was saved from prison in Philippians. Noah was saved from the flood in Hebrews. And it goes on and on and on and on. So it isn't a word that has the, it's the end. It's the beginning. Because the point of salvation is the point when you finally see that there's another life within you. And this life you've been living has been an act. There's been a usurper in the temple of God. Then at that point, you see this mystery that you've always been from eternity. That's your true self. That's your only self. That's the salvation. And now the sanctification is what happens when you totally, until you're totally and completely empty before Him. And you see the finishness of this mystery of God. And so the seventh angel can stand within you and say, time shall be no more. You give it no more importance, for you've redeemed the time and everything. Amen? So, let's go to 19 and just show you a couple of things. Luke 19. Did I say that? Yeah. So we have to go, but we have to start in verse 1 to make any sense of this. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore it. I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Now, do you understand what it's saying? Jesus himself is salvation. It's not something that you get. Amen? Now, I can pray to Jesus and, oh, praise God, I'm saved. But as long as I am in the picture, then Jesus he's always been there, but he takes the lowest seat. And so he lets you continue in all your strife and all your issues and all the ideas and plans until you see there is dust. And finally, in your emptiness, in your true repentance, then he is there. He lives. So he is salvation. He is truth. He is the way. He is life. He doesn't give you any of those things. And this is the biggest difference from my perspective of what we teach and what I hear. It's big.
Yeah.
What?
Everything.
Let's go to John 4. This is the woman at the well. No, it goes on to the familiar thing. And the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I... Well, anyway. I don't want to go through all that. Let's just start. Let's start in 15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that he just talked about, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he to whom thou hast is not thy husband. Saidest thou truly? Anyway, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers were, and this is, remember in Samaritan, what Samaritans were? You remember all that? Their Samaritans were Jews. And they, the land of Samaria, they built an alternate temple that's still there to this day. And so they celebrated all the Jewish feasts, but they celebrated it in the wrong place. And so that's why the Jews could not even set foot in Samaria. But here Jesus did. So anyway. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Excuse me. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. So, for salvation is of or from the Jews. The hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, and again, he's saying the same thing. The only place you can worship God is in him, in Jesus. The only place that you can worship him is in the Holy Spirit. You can worship forever, and oh God, you're great. And if you're still in you, it means nothing.
That's the wrong place.
And you can't truly worship and sing the praises until you know the enemy is defeated. And the enemy that's defeated is you. Amen? All right, that's a good place to stop. So, just, we studied a lot today, but what I want you to take away is salvation is Jesus Christ. It's not something you get or something you become. Or what?
And he's the beginning and the end.
He's the author and finisher. First and last, the Alpha and the Omega. The all and in all. What?
Well, the thing about it, you talk about it's the merest beginning. And it is.
What we call salvation.
Yeah, if you're thinking in a timeline, it's the merest beginning. But you get out of the timeline, and in Him is the fullness of God.
Right. I'm talking about perception.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Anybody else? Take a big guy.